We sit glued to the TV set all night
and every night.
Why go into the outside world at all?
It's such a fright.
We got nothing better to do than watch TV and have a couple of...
Hello and welcome to TV Times 3, episode number 72. I'm Ray from Ramblings of a TV Whore. Damn it. I was going to say I'm Crazy Ray. Sorry. Go ahead. Damn it. I'm Ray. All right, come on.
I'm Jason
the TV. I think we got it.
I'm Jason the TV Holic from TVHolic.com.
And I'm Emery from MyTakeOnTV.com. And
hey,
I have a song.
Emery.
Yeah.
I'm Ray. Go on.
I have,
you
a,
have
song
a song
in my head. I have
right.
a song in my head, and it's one of Ray's favorite songs.
Oh, Lord.
Why did you say it like that? It's a good song.
Okay.
Anyway, it'll pop up through the throughout, I'm sure, because I've been dying to sing it all day. I've been singing it all day. What's new with everybody?
Just went and saw the A-Team.
Oh, how was that?
It was good. It filters into the ridiculous in some instances, but it's definitely fun.
I didn't know until yesterday that Jessica Biel was in it.
And for a jump from TV to movies, it was done pretty well. I wouldn't put it in the great movie category, but I wouldn't put it in the crappy TV show made into a movie category.
Cool. So there's your movie minute for the day.
Your TV-related movie minute.
All right. News. Fox has ordered a third season of The Cleveland Show. What season is it in? It's first season?
It's in its second, I think, is what they're doing right now.
Because I thought that it was picked up for mid-season last year and then never made it to mid-season. It was on in the fall. So I think it's technically like Glee and still in its first season.
Yeah,
but
I'm not
knows?
Sure where exactly it's at airing, but apparently they're in the process of making season two right now and have been given a third season already. So it'll be around for the foreseeable future.
All right. Grey's Anatomy has upped two people, Sarah Drew and Jesse Williams, to cast regulars for season seven. Good, I like them both. Breakout Kings, who's in Breakout Kings, which Fox decided not to pick up, is being shopped to cable networks like A&E. Do I know anybody in that one? I mean, not personally. I know a few people. Whatever. I just had an argument with myself. Okay. Torchwood season 4 is scheduled to air on Starz in summer 2011, which means I bet you people get to see Captain Jack. Is that his name? Naked. USA has upped the orders of Burn Notice season 4 and Royal Pain season 2 from 16 to 18 episodes and cut In Plain Sight season 3 down to 13, not because of anything wrong with the show, but the showrunner took a leave of absence and they decided to leave it at the perfectly good cliffhanger. And that'll end soon. Is that just the one? I feel like it... Anyway.
Which, what, In Plain Sight?
I feel like it was over, but it's still going on. Because I remember, I know I put it in my What's On every Wednesday or whatever.
Yeah, I think now that it's been cut to 13, I think it's got couple more weeks left, I think, or something like that.
I love the way that our arguments stop when we fall asleep and the way that your body feels when it's wrapped around me. Oh my God, I love that song. It's called Christmas TV by Slow Club. Find
it. I do love that song.
I know Ray loves it. I've been listening to that soundtrack a lot lately. Thanks, Just Jody from Canada. So, prime time. Got a lot of shows tonight, today, on the list, starting with The Next Food Network Star, Season 6 premiere. I don't remember there being 6 seasons, but I guess I only really watched last year. No, I watched 2 seasons, because I watched the season where Aaron won, shouldn't have won. I watched the season where Melissa won, shouldn't have won. And so now I'm watching this season. Oh, also, I don't like Guy Fieri. So, I don't know that I believe this show's track record is very good, but I like the end of it.
Well, he was from the season before that, so, like, I think he was the third season winner.
Who won before him? Do we know? Do they exist?
I can't remember.
They don't exist.
I don't know if any of them... I haven't really paid attention to see what other ones have stuck, other than Guy Fieri, who not just stuck, but is in... He has, like, what, like, 2 or 3 different
shows
on Food Network, and then has popped out into other types of shows, too, so...
Were your favorites so far?
I like Arya so far.
Yeah, she was really good.
She was my favorite, mostly because she was the one out of all of them that could get in front of the camera.
Don't these people know that they're going to get on front of camera? Why don't they practice?
No, but that's... I know, but that is interesting to me. What's interesting to me about that is it's a reality show, competition show.
And they're
on the camera all the time. But when they get in front of a camera within that, that's like a specific thing where part of a task where they have to talk to the camera or in front of the judges or, you know, in front of the other people. Yeah, they completely lock up. Yet when they do the aside where they're just being interviewed and talk, they're natural
and
talking and stuff like that. And then you could see them where they're being filmed, like at the house where they're all staying. You know, when it's the camera's sort of obscure, it's not right there in their face. You can see they all have personality and stuff like that. And then they get on screen, and especially the guy that ended up losing, that guy has some personality. But when he got on screen, he just froze when he stuck in front of the camera. And it was amazing how many of them didn't necessarily always freeze, but would just completely stumble or go a completely different direction from... like the one
Herb
lady.
Herb has got to go.
Which one?
I would not watch a show that Herb was on. I would not watch his show.
I'm blanking on which one he is.
He's the meathead, who's like all about fitness and health and craziness and jumping,
that's right,
running
Herb.
Around. And
that's right, where he turned his name into an acronym for his show title.
Yes, exactly.
Oh, yeah, that was pretty bad. Or the other lady that all of a sudden went to... She's the prim and proper, and then she turned into party girl.
Oh, right. Let's party. And then there was a lady who got her eye cut and goes to the hospital and doesn't lose. She didn't cook anything, and she didn't lose the competition.
Well, she got lucky that she was on the winning team. With that one, if the medical staff told me that I needed to go to the hospital, I probably would have gone to the hospital, too.
I would have, too. But I wouldn't have come back pissed off that they made my dish wrong.
No, but yeah, but in that period of time while I was waiting at the hospital or after I'd been seen or whenever, I would have somehow got a message back to the rest of the people with maybe not an exact recipe, but maybe an idea of what dish you were going to try to do, and you wouldn't just... I mean, that's that was where I had the problem, was where she didn't want to really stick her name on this dish, which she didn't make, which makes sense, except that she totally just left them high and dry. I mean, there was things she could have done that, even though she had to go to the hospital, because I would have gone to the hospital, too, for a scratched cornea. I mean, it's your eye.
Exactly. And nobody wants to watch a cooking show with somebody with an eye patch. I'm sorry.
But she definitely could have done something to help the team out by sending back a message or something with, you know, maybe not the exact recipe. I mean, maybe it's... you know, something that you just know how to make, but some clue as to what should be done, what you were going to do with your dish, so that they're not just... I can't remember which of the one guy, his dish ended up not coming out very well, but he spent, a quarter of his time making this other one.
Exactly.
But he was kind of stand-up-ish, where he was kind of complaining about that, but he never complained about that in front of the judges. Like, he never physically said that as something... in front of the judges.
He didn't want to make excuses.
Yeah, so that was kind of interesting. Overall, I kind of liked the season. For the most part,
too.
I like most of the people on the show. I mean, there's a couple of people that need to go.
Yeah, Grill It with Bobby Flay is like my favorite show that I watch on the weekends. It's the only real Food Network show that I watch. So I like Bobby Flay, so it's nice to see him. All right.
Well, one quick thing. My favorite part of the episode was when... I mean, granted, the guy made the bad dish, but when Wolfgang Puck told him that his wife would divorce him if he served this type of food, that was hilarious.
They were like, hey, Wolfgang Puck, can you come be as blatantly and brutally honest as possible? Thanks.
Maybe American Idol needs to get Wolfgang Puck to come on.
And I'm like, have you made it to mine by Christmas Eve?
Definitely tell you what's on his mind. No sugarcoating. Okay.
Lie to Me, Season 2, Episode 11. Beat the Devil, starring a wide variety of people. Jason Doering, Howard Hessman, Glenn Morshower was there. Who else was in it? Oh, it was great. I really, really liked this episode. And I'm a fan of Lie to Me, so I wasn't not watching only because of Jason, like Ray probably did, because you don't watch Lie to Me, right?
Correct.
What were your thoughts as a non-watcher?
I mean, it was okay. It just wasn't anything great. Like, I have no desire to watch it again.
Right. I really like the show.
Okay.
No, go ahead.
I wasn't picking on you.
God,
I mean,
Ray,
it's just like a, it's, I just didn't think that it was anything, I mean, and maybe it was just because this episode, it wasn't all that unique. Mm-hmm. And I think part of that was that they didn't really in any way, shape or form have any kind of is he or isn't he. Like, I didn't really doubt his comment that he was a, what was he? Serial killer? Whatever.
A psychopath.
Psychopath. Yeah. Thank you. I knew there was a word that I just couldn't. And maybe it was because they opened, you know what I mean? Like, they opened it and they tried to be coy and not show you who the person was who was digging the hole.
Oh, but, Ashley Johnson, that's the other person.
But they didn't, like, they didn't do anything to make you think there could be somebody else. Because that's not what they were interested in doing. They were interested in showing whatever, right? But because of that, I just felt like, okay, well, there's no tension there. So maybe if I knew the characters a little bit more, I would be a little bit more in whatever. Not guest characters, I knew that, but you know what I'm saying. Like if I knew the other characters, maybe I would be a little bit more interested. I mean, I enjoyed it. It was fine. I just didn't, it wasn't anything that I thought, oh, I need to watch that again next week. So
Right.
Yeah, I could see that from the opening scene, but I think it would have completely fallen, you know, there would be nothing in there if they show him right from the beginning, like digging the hole. But yeah, for the most part, the show is about Lightman being correct. And
that's pretty much it.
And then him trying to go about proving that he's correct. But I think that's interesting from somebody that watches the show. I'm not a huge fan. I mean, it's not, I think it's sort of perfect to watch over the summer because I like the show enough to watch, but if there was too many conflicts, it would be a show that would get dropped for me. But I thought that this was one of their best episodes that they've done. Even if you knew that he was the psychopath, it was the going back and forth. And is it a good thing if you play a good psychopath? But yeah, you know, Doreen was good. And yeah, a lot of other people, like Amory said, popped up in the episode. And overall, I just thought it was one of their better efforts for a season and a half so far.
Yeah. So that's Lie to Me. Tell us what you thought. Another Monday night show on Fox, season 1, episode 2 of The Good Guys, Bait and Switch. Man, I wish this had been the pilot.
Which I think is an interesting title, given that the bait that they gave us in the first episode was not something that would really entice you. And the switch was to a show that was actually good in this episode.
I love this episode. I thought it was hysterical.
You know, the funny thing about that is that Jody just told me that she and Brad, her boyfriend, watched the first episode, not this one. The first one, and that she liked it, and he really, really liked it. So
I
guess
love
it's
the first episode.
It's all a perspective. I know I liked it too, but
I just feel like
what
this episode
said so.
Yeah, exactly. Like, this
I
was
agree
just
completely. This episode was way above it, the other one.
Yeah.
But I'm
yeah.
just saying, I just thought it was interesting. Based
yeah,
on
that is
Jason.
Very interesting.
Well, it'll be
I'm just
definitely
like,
interesting to hear what you know their thoughts are once they've watched the second episode, because maybe. He'll just unbelievably love this episode if you love that the first one. I liked the first episode. There was too much in it that I could see. Part of the problem with the show is that it's not advertised very well. The commercials for it are not very, don't make me want to watch it. I mean, I watched it because it was a new show, and I like Bradley Whitford, and I like Matt Nix for doing Burn Notice, and so there was plenty of stuff for somebody like me to check it out, but the commercials really aren't doing it any favors to get people to watch it. And then the people that did watch it, you know, that first effort was, there was some parts of it that it just didn't totally work overall, and then this episode to me was 2-3 times better than where the elements all blended well together. And maybe part of it is because you had a little bit of knowledge of the show. I mean, having seen the previous episode, I'd be interested to be able to go back in time and find out my thoughts if I'd seen this one first.
Yeah.
But yeah, I thought this one worked really well.
When Bradley physically fought the computer. Like, I think what's funny, a lot of people are like, why is Bradley Whitford doing this to himself? Like, he's just playing such a caricature. But I think it's hysterical because I like to watch Bradley just go crazy. Like, oh my God, with the peanut shells last time. Or was it this time?
this time,
right? And where's my, give me, tell me where my car is! And he's not like, he really is a good cop too. Like, what I think is funny is that he's ridiculous, but he solves the cases. He understood what was happening.
But he's still stuck in the 80s.
He had to lay with the college co-ed, and he totally is. Oh, I love it. I think he's hysterical.
But I also like the beginning of this episode where, you know, he wanted to recreate the situation.
Oh, yeah.
So he's laying in bed next to the other lady. But it actually leads to...
like actual police work.
It's like... it actually leads to them seeing the broken lights and they head off down on this case.
I think people need to be watching this show.
Yeah, from the first episode, I was like, well, I kind of liked it. I'll give it a couple more episodes to see what happens. And then this is the type of episode that is the reason why if you see something in a first episode that you kind of like, you should watch future episodes because...
Confession, I've watched it 4 times. Because
This is the type of episode that would get me to go, okay, yeah, I put this on my list of to watch. Granted, the closer will go above it once that shows up, but they'll still both get watched.
Right. All right. Persons Unknown, series premiere. Not a terrible show. Not a fantastic show. Maybe not enough in a pilot, but I'm going to keep it on the DVR and see what happens.
I liked it. There was enough of a what the heck is going on there and done in an interesting enough way that I want to follow along to find out what the heck is going on. Sometimes series like this put stuff out there like that, and then by the end of the episode, you don't care what the big mystery is or what's going on.
Parentheses, Happy Town.
I think it was... there was way too much going on there. But yeah, that would be an example of that type of show where, you know, you watch an episode or two and you're just like, I don't care who the mystery man is. This is not, you know, interesting to me. But this sort of drop a bunch of people in a small town that you can't get out of, that's who knows where, but then other people show up and you find out, like, from the guy at the hotel that's there at the end, that this is not the first time that he's done this sort of job, is this type of person that he's, but he doesn't really know anything. So it's some sort of game that some group of people have played before.
It helps that I really like Bosco was my favorite character on Third Watch. I love Jason Wiles. I loved him and I loved him and Faith. I love them together. So that's a reason why I want to keep going, because I really like him and I really am interested in his backstory and why he knows stuff. And I'm calling it now. Tina Holmes is totally in on it. She didn't check her leg. She's the one in the bathroom.
But yeah, I'm definitely... there was enough in the first episode that I'm on board to keep watching.
Okay.
Pretty solid effort for... it's a good summer show.
Yeah, definitely. So our next show... I have literally watched 87 times, I feel, because I was looking for green glitter. Pretty Little Liars, Season 1, Episode 1, The Pilot.
Okay, what's the deal with the green glitter?
So I'm one of the group of people that signed up to get a free smartphone to play a blackmail game. It came buried in a thing of dirt. So it's like me, Mitovich is playing it, Thomas is playing it, Alex is playing it, Corby got a phone, I don't know if she's actually playing. Anyway, a bunch of people. So we're getting the serious messages from a person named A, right? And it's true. The phone's active. I can make calls with it. I can send text messages with it. And I get text messages blackmailing me. So in the box came green glitter. And my mission for the pilot, since it was premiering on Tuesday, was watch the episode and tell me where you think the object that came in your box, what scene it's in. No lie, I stayed up an extra 2 hours to watch it over and over again to find the freaking glitter because I didn't want one of my secrets revealed to lose the game, okay? Then the next morning, I still didn't find it. I had Ray watching it with me. We're watching it together, like, both on our computers, like, no, I think it might be this scene. Oh, but there's glitter here. Wouldn't you know it, by the time I got my second clue, I finally, because the clue was think of the past and the cookie, I'm finally like, okay, it clearly has to be the scene where Hannah's eating a cookie, because I'm playing the role of Hannah in this game. I get a text message back that tells me she's wearing green glitter in the scene. Like, no, she wasn't.
On her eyes.
On her eyes. I'm like, how the hell was I supposed to find that?
As I
like
told
some
Amory,
sort of green glitter eyeshadow?
Yeah.
Yes. I rewatched the scene after she had that information, and I was like, they don't even really show you a close-up of her. Like, it's not even a good close-up of her face, so there's no way you could have seen.
No way.
You can tell she has something dark, like she has dark eyeshadow on, you know what I mean? But you cannot see that it's...
Yeah. Other people got, like, a car that, like... Hannah's mom drove. They got a mini car. Other people got a pink strand of hair like Aria had in the past. I'm like, are you kidding me? I get glitter? Anyway, let's talk about the show. The game is really fun. I'm having fun, but that one mission was just driving me crazy. So what did you guys think?
It's okay.
I now hate it because I watched it 87 times. But I will watch a second episode and see how it goes because I liked it enough. It'll be a good pleasure summer viewing kind of show.
Yeah, I think it's done pretty well. As mentioned before on the summer preview, I had some problems with the first half of it, but by the end of it, there's enough sort of little mysteries and secrets that leave it interesting enough that you kind of want to follow along and see what's going on. Some of what bothered me in the episode, as I think I may have mentioned before, was the dialogue and how... Somebody would say, but what about, and then somebody else would like shut them down, even though
right.
It was just those two together, you know, or something like that, or just people that knew about it. And so it was completely there just for the audience to go, oh, well, there's another secret. And so the dialogue felt off to me in some of those places, but it gives you lots of little mysteries and secrets that everybody has.
Here's a mystery and a secret.
Along.
How is Bianca Lawson still playing a freaking teenager? And looking better than she did when she was Kendra.
Didn't she just play a teenager in Vampire Diaries?
I know, it's driving me crazy. She's 32 years old. The difference between her playing 16 and Teddy on freaking 90210 is he looks 32. Bianca Lawson will never grow old. I think she is a vampire.
Well, a good portion of the cast is in their mid-20s or older. The people playing the younger.
But like, Lucy Hale wasn't playing a teenager 15 years ago.
Yeah. Well, she's still in that window where you take somebody like 19 to 22 to play, you know, somebody that's 16 to 18 is not that far off. But yeah, when you start getting up a little above that, it's hard to start making them look younger.
Yeah.
But they still want them to be, you know, like these pretty... young ladies or whatever, so it's hard to do both.
Yeah. So Pretty Little Liars. I'll be watching.
I'll probably continue to watch unless it turns into complete crap because there's nothing else on Tuesday nights at that time over the summer, so it's got a nice little spot all to its own, at least for me. There's nothing else in any other time period on that same time period that interests me, so.
All right. Next show. Glee. Season 1, Episode 22, Journey, the season finale. Thoughts?
As an episode, I really enjoyed it.
Yes.
Okay.
I love the songs. I love that version of Somewhere Over the Rainbow, so I rewatched that, like, I don't know, 10 times after seeing it.
Didn't help that it was those two guys who have the best voices in the group.
Exactly. Which, ironically, when I had the songs before the episode, and not that I didn't like it, but I listened to it and I wasn't like overly drawn to it, but once I saw it and then I listened to it over and over again, I was initially a little torn about the Bohemian Rhapsody editing. And I think there's still at least one section where I think that it's almost too much, but in general I ended up thinking that it was good, that I liked it.
Well, I think that segment, I mean, I think overall you can come down on either side of where it was like you think it was kind of dumb because she's doing the lyrics as she's giving birth, or you can think it was really great. But I think either way that you come down on it, you've got to admire the editing job. You know, it was a very interesting way to give you both moments in the episode and, you know, give you her birth and then also give you... Vocal Adrenaline's performance.
Right.
Overall, in the episode, I had two problems. One,
if you say with the way they lip synced, we're done.
I'm long past that.
Okay.
It's still not always done well, but still. But you brought it up. So anyways, back to the two problems. One is I can see why the group would be upset that Sue would be on the judging committee, but what I don't get is why, and maybe even Vocal Adrenaline wouldn't be that upset with her being on it, with Jesse having been there and knowing what the animosity is like between the two. But for one of the other schools to not... Somebody would complain that a teacher or somebody from a school would be on the voting
panel. Another team, it's going to think that it's going to seem like, oh, well, she's on their side.
Yeah, because somebody that doesn't know the situation would think exactly the opposite. Like, we're a vote down. They've got an automatic vote over there.
Right.
I guess actually I had three problems. The other one was...
It's testament to how I've learn to ignore the issues that I have. That didn't even occur to me, even though I was thinking to myself, wouldn't they have a problem with Olivia Newton-John being on it when she just sung with Sue? So
well, that was another problem that I had.
And Josh Groban was just at something that had, you know what I mean? Like he was seeing whatever it was at the beginning of the season. I'm like, wouldn't they have a problem with how all these people are all involved with New Directions? I didn't even think about it, the fact that obviously Sue is the biggest one who would be a conflict, but
well,
whatever.
The next one would be, I mean, I understand the conflict, and it worked well in the situation to get Sue to do what she did and how she voted, but what I didn't get is I don't remember there being any animosity between Olivia Newton-John and Sue from the episode where they did the video. I don't remember that episode ending with them being...
Well, no, Sue was mad. There was a throwaway line that Sue said that ONJ stole, like, cut her out of the money. So, like, Sue wasn't getting any rewards from the video. So there was a throwaway that, like, you could make a case for. Well, they had a bad business arrangement.
But I could still see that as Sue not liking her, maybe, I guess. I don't know. I guess maybe there was some a little bit. It just seemed to me that that was sort of weird that they were so far apart, but it worked for the scene. The one thing I think my biggest problem with the episode was Vocal Adrenaline's performance. While it was good,
just Jonathan,
and it sounded good for a show choir, there was lots of show, but there wasn't a lot of choir.
Yeah,
that was my problem with that performance, was that it was like a solo with a little bit of backup here and there.
Right.
And then a lot of show with the rest of the people dancing and putting on a much bigger show than what New Directions did in theirs. But singing-wise, it wasn't like it was a choir. And that bothered me, that they would do so well because...
They didn't win on talent. Like, from the judges picked on who, you know, they liked watching because they were blonde or whatever. I don't know. I loved the Journey Mash, the group. I loved the Journey performance. I loved this version of Don't Stop Believin' because I think that Naya Rivera's voice is killer, and I'm so glad they're using her more. That's Santana. And I don't know, I really enjoyed it.
I liked that everybody got, while it was mainly Finn and Rachel, everybody else got a little bit, a small at least bit of solo somewhere in there, or, you know, a place where they at least came out as a little bit featured.
Right.
And then the choir together as a whole. I thought it really worked well as the season finale or as their ending performance.
I really thought it was weird, though, that that part of the show was done by the half-hour point.
Well, that was the other thing. Now that I think about it, that was another thing that was kind of weird about it, is in a competition like that, I mean, I guess they did that in the sectionals, but it seemed like there was more. It seems like there would be more than one part to the competition.
I just assume we didn't see it all. To be honest, which is why I didn't take issue with the Bohemian Rhapsody, because I figured we were just seeing that portion of...
Yeah, I kind of maybe thought that a little bit too, except that they showed so much of, like, their medley, but there was no mention, really, that there was...
Well, they're going to show all of their... I mean, they're showing select pieces, but they're going to show the entire song for the select pieces that they're showing, so...
But what I'm saying is it seemed like they... each did a medley. You didn't see the one group. You just heard a little bit of their beginning. But what I'm saying is it seemed like a competition like that would have, like, each group would sing, like, a medley. Each group would sing, like, a specific song, you know, or not a specific song, but would sing a song, or, you know, that they would do multiple, that they wouldn't just be on stage one time, necessarily. I don't know. I don't know how those type of competitions work. It just seemed to me that each group doing one medley and there being only three groups seemed like an oddly small competition
I think that they only focus on the three groups that we knew we'd hear the results of in the end. I think there was other groups. We didn't see them. There was way too many people.
There was really other groups.
Could there have been 40 groups and us seeing them all? No.
Anyway, it's just sectionals.
Yeah.
Well, I know, but I'm...
like, regionals will definitely have to be more groups.
No, this was regionals.
Well, this was regionals. And I didn't have a problem that it was only three groups that they showed. It just made it seem like whatever they were doing, each group only performed once.
I guess. I understand what you're saying, but...
That was just another little thought with the episode. I mean, that just occurred to me now again, that when you were talking about it.
Yeah, they don't, like, at show choir competitions, they don't do more than one performance. I'm going to reference two things. Sister Act 2, Back in the Habit. They all only perform one song. Okay? Best movie ever.
That's definitely what I use when I'm trying to figure out what happens at
exactly.
these types of competitions.
Clearly. And my brother was in show choir, and they had, like, a couple songs, but usually it was, like, the same length as regular show choir. So, but anyway, moving on from that, because we could probably go on about that forever. I think that it was a good ending, or good episode, maybe not a good ending to a season that's been very one-sided, the first 13 being so solid and the second half being not as much. But I am interested to see what season two
is. Ending.
I think it was a good ending that put them in a good spot to start again.
It's true. It did give them more to do. Plus, yeah, it gives them more to kind of go on next year. So
here's what I would like for next season.
Okay.
Because I'm sure that Ryan Murphy is listening and wants to tailor the show to me.
And if Ian or Brad are, we'll take them too. It's fine.
I really just would like them, now that we've seen that Sue has got them another year, I hope that the entire plot does not revolve around Sue trying to get rid of the Glee Club again. Right. I don't mind that Sue has issues with the Glee Club getting money over Cheerios. Like, I don't mind if that's if the plot for a week is about how she feels like the Cheerios deserve the money more than Glee, you know what I mean? Or something like that.
Yeah.
But I hope that they do not return to the well of Glee Club shouldn't exist. Like, don't do that anymore. Until the end
and
of the year when they're trying to decide for the next year.
Yeah, I think it's time to introduce, maybe not introduce, but like maybe bring back Molly Shannon's crazy character and have her be in charge of something that's competing with Glee Club. Because you know there's always going to be the somebody has a problem with Glee Club story, but I'm with you that it needs to not be Sue all the time.
Well, I don't really have a problem with people having a problem with Glee Club on a smaller level. It's the idea that they're constantly having to think that they're going to get rid of completely, which I don't think that is realistic. I think when you've established something exists, it exists. Like, don't, you know what I mean? Like, I think that is something they return to so many times this season that I would rather them do more realistic storylines, like who's getting the bigger budget, not who's going to go away completely. You can do it like, you know, well, we're not going to give them any budget, so you'll have to figure out your costumes on your own. And then the kids have to do fundraisers and things like that. But don't continue to go back to the well of Glee Club is just not going to exist at all. Especially since you ended with them being okay with their experience that, you know what I mean? In the end, they've won just because it existed at all. So if now you go back to the idea that, oh, we're going to get rid of it completely, I don't think it'll have the same. It didn't have it anyway. By the end of the season, you're like, whatever, it's going to be fine by the end of the episode. Like, the show would not exist without Glee Club. So,
yeah,
you know, I guess that maybe is my problem with it.
I think they did set it up better for that type of thing, though, where it's more for her to rag on Will and stuff. And
I'm fine with that.
She won't, you know, necessarily be like out like she was this season to kill Glee Club completely.
Right. And I'd like to see. Jody and I had a discussion about the longevity of the show, and I actually think that there is no real main cast. I mean, there is a main cast, obviously, but there's no, like, one character who has to carry the show, who has to be there. So I'd like to see them start introducing younger characters and the idea that maybe, you know, at some point the Glee Club would have to be turned over to a younger group and that we have to see how they have to try to fit in. I'm sure that there's another diva at that school or coming into
Sophomores?
I'm not sure.
Already made them juniors.
Right, like the guys seemed to be playing on the football, didn't seem to be playing on JV, which would make them not, I mean, I guess they could be the best football players as sophomores, and so they're not playing on JV, but it seems more like they would be juniors because they were playing on the varsity team. But Then again, nobody's worrying about college at this point, so maybe not.
Right.
Yeah.
So,
exactly. Yeah, I never really got a good a feel for like what their ages are.
Well, I just meant like the or, when
yeah,
when
what year of school they're in.
Big aspect at the very beginning, like it didn't seem like there was another football team. It seemed like they were the football team, and yeah. that would mean that they were the varsity team. So
we didn't
you know
have
I mean?
Varsity and JV in my high school, so it could just right, be
possibly.
That everybody was on the team. So
true,
we
but
only
you would
had
think that a junior or a senior would be on the team. Like I'm saying,
we
like, they were
freshmen.
They were the main people on the team.
Right.
So you would think
right.
that the sophomores right. wouldn't be the best players on the team, is what I'm saying.
But who
well,
knows?
That's obviously because you don't
sake.
Watch Friday Night Lights, so you wouldn't know that last year.
Exactly.
The
I don't care.
Was, that
I'm saying
was
that
a freshman.
In a high school situation, one or two,
him.
One or two younger students is fine. But to ins-
yeah.
to put
oh,
all of
you.
Like made, they made it seem like the entire team was focused on the guys who were going to Glee Club. So
right, exactly.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, it doesn't matter.
So we have a lot of
they obviously have the way to move it around. We're not tied to a certain school year because
exactly
they didn't
yeah.
give us an education. They could be the next episode could be oh they were taking the summer off. Never mind. I was wrong. They were tied to a school year.
Anyway,
we should take the summer off.
I mean, they could compact the time frame more.
What does that mean?
Where like the next season doesn't
yeah,
necessarily
can.
Take place
yeah.
over the a whole school year.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, this one clearly did because Quinn.
Yeah.
Right.
Quinn went through
right.
her entire pregnancy, which, you know, well, I'm not going to talk about that because
right.
I'd like to focus on the positives.
Yes, let's move on before we delve further into the negatives of Glee. Final show on our list. So You Think You Can Dance. Let's just talk about this. I don't want to talk about a certain episode. Let's just talk. Let's wrap. So You Think You Can Dance.
There is no certain to talk about.
No.
I feel like the
here's
audition shouldn't really be episodes yet. Go ahead.
Yeah. No, here's what I'll say. After watching the Meet Your Top 10, they still called it, even though it was 11. And I'm one of those people who can't count, and I'm like, what are they going to do for that final all-star? And then I'm like, oh, I'm an idiot. There's 12 all-stars. Anyway, I watched the all-stars the entire time.
Yeah. My opinion was that for this first episode in which they were letting the new and it was only an hour long, that they really
right.
should have just given the dances to the new people. Like, it wouldn't have made that much of a difference to just have the new people doing the dances and not have, you know what I mean? Like, the whole point was to let the audience get to know these people in their style of dance. Why would you have them dancing with the All-Stars at this point? It's not like
here's
you had
I
to
remember.
Have them couples.
Here's what I remember. I remember Ken Boyd saying he likes women, and I remember Pasha. Like, that's the moments that stand out in my head. So it's not like I remember a dance by one of the newbies. That's pretty much it. I like top 11, but I don't know that I'm going to care about them as much because my favorites are back.
Yeah,
except Lauren
Gott. That was always going to be the concern, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's been my concern.
I think it'll be hard because it'll be hard to watch. Like, won't they always? I mean, I guess it's why they made sure they got a really good group. But won't
yeah.
they always pale in comparison to people who've been dancing now professionally, basically? You know what I mean? It's
yeah.
like watching somebody dance with the choreographer. Like, when you watch that dance, like, in your head, you're thinking, well, things could be slightly off because, you know what I mean? He's dancing with a freaking choreographer who...
Right.
I mean, in theory,
yeah.
the idea is that you're focusing on the one who doesn't know the dance. You know what I mean? Like, you're not focusing on that person, but you are. Like, you're focusing on both
oh, yeah.
of them.
And somebody who's not doing well or somebody who doesn't do a well, like, a good performance... If they're dancing with Twitch or they're dancing with Dominic, like, they're going to sail through.
I was going to bring up the the hip-hop dance, actually. It really stood out in that one. Maybe because it was that was the first one where we had just one newcomer dancing, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And at the very beginning of that dance, I was like, yeah.
Yeah.
This
exactly.
is why it's not good to show them with them, because I can really tell. And I don't think
and
it's
not
because
until,
he's not a good, he took off the hoodie.
No, not until the sweatshirt came off and they did that move did I think, holy crap.
Exactly.
That was
I mean, and maybe that was somewhat intentional. Maybe he didn't have as complex moves until he took the
right.
hoodie off. I don't know. But I will say that I noticed it and I thought to myself, oh, that's not good.
Right. No,
like,
I'm with you.
I mean, it's not fair to him either. Like, you know what I mean? And it may not even be that they're better dancers. They're just more used to the having to learn a routine.
They've all gotten to dance with Napoleon and Tabitha too. Like,
exactly. So yeah, I'm glad that we're not doing the Fantasy Dance League because it would be hard.
Oh, I mean, it'd be terrible.
It's already something that you have to mix both of somebody's skill level with what you think one, the audience will do and what you think the judges want to happen. Like, you already have to do some of that, but in this season, you would really have to be, like, your bonus points each week would make a big difference because I'm sure that based on who they're dancing with, somebody who sucks will make it through the next round.
Right.
I don't know. Yeah. As far as favorites, I'm not particularly drawn to any of the women.
No, me either.
I did think it was a little unfair that they brought 11 guys, and why couldn't they have brought 11 girls?
You mean 6 and 5? 6 and 6?
Yeah, you know what I mean.
I knew what you meant. But exactly, why couldn't they? And I'm not sure it was fair that their clear favorites, Billy and Alex, got to dance together.
Yeah.
No, I didn't think that dance was anything, but what do I know? I don't know dance. Dance doesn't make me cry. Like, it makes other people cry. Whatever.
Yeah, that last dance was just wrong. It wasn't good to me.
Really? I enjoyed it enough, but I think it's because I like Neil.
You know why I didn't like it? I thought the music didn't... The music didn't work for me. Like, the music was too quiet, or the like, it was the combination of the two. Like, it wasn't enough something. There wasn't enough... And the music was not... It didn't work for me.
And it didn't help that Wade choreographed the top 23 dancers, and Wade is my hero, and nothing ever compares to a Wade Robson routine. So it kind of went progressively downhill.
I didn't have that big of a... Like, I enjoyed basically the dances, but that last one, I was just like, I wish I hadn't ended on this one. I mean, it wasn't
weird,
bad.
Yeah, weird note to end on. Maybe another group dance could have helped it. Who knows? That's our show. And we'll watch Christmas TV. Bringing it full circle. So, do your thing.
Are you talking to me?
Yeah.
Yep. I was like, what is she talking about? All right. If you have thoughts on the things we discussed today. I don't remember a lot of them because I don't watch a lot of them. Or you have thoughts on the news, or... I was going to say something, but we didn't discuss it on the podcast.
But if you have thoughts about that, please send them in.
We had a discussion before we started taping in which I admitted that I'm crazy and I embrace, but I was going to ask you for your opinion, but I mean, you can offer your opinion on whether you think I'm crazy or not, but that was not, you can't offer your opinion on what I was being crazy about. So never mind.
Guys, I have news. But I don't want to say it because it's technically casting.
Which would be a clue to the craziness.
It has to do with someone replacing someone on a television show.
On what network?
ABC. It's a new show.
It's a new show.
Unless you watched it.
I probably did watch it, but was it available on the site?
The question is, do you want the whole truth or do you want only half of it?
Didn't watch that one.
Well played.
I didn't watch that one, so you can say it.
Maura Tierney! Maura Tierney!
You could have said it anyway, because I don't...
Maura Tierney and Rob Morrow together. It's going to be awesome, because I don't like Julie Richardson's American accent.
Look, I don't have a problem with casting news for new shows, because I don't know what's going to happen on the new show anyway, so I don't care. I care about something that another show that's coming back that I know the cast of, and that if I know news about casting for that show, I can somewhat predict about what's going to happen because I've seen the show long enough that I can tell things.
A new wrinkle
that's
in
all
the
I'm
no
saying.
Casting news.
A new wrinkle in the no casting news.
Unless it's okay. For a new show.
And I work really hard not to get spoiled for it.
Let's end this.
It's in this all craziness.
Right. This is the way in which I'm... But look, I admit it, okay?
Yes.
All right, okay. Fine, whatever. If you would like to rein in, that's not the right word.
Rein it in, folks.
If you would like to, I can't think of the correct word.
Leave thoughts, comments.
Leave thoughts,
know.
Comments. If you would like to offer your opinion on how crazy I am, feel free. You can do so at our website at tvtimes3.com.
Spell it all out.
Yes. Or, you know, all those other places you can find us, which you know
There's
about.
There's links all over that website.
Yeah. It's linked everywhere on our website. Just go to our website, and then you can find us
on TV3.com. All right.
Oh, our music was provided by IODAPromonet.com. The song is TV Party by the Asylum Street Spankers from their Mercurial title put out by Yellow Dog Records. And now I'm done.
That's our show.
And one little other piece about the show. We'll be off for a week after this episode. So
we will.
It would be at least a couple weeks before the next episode. Because
Ray is world traveling.
Yes, a little bit of a covert affair on her part.
World? Mm-hmm. Yes, that's true. I'm going to the set of covert affairs.
Going to another country.
I need to take a Tums.
A what?
A Tums.
I thought you said something else entirely.
What did you think I said?
Never mind.
Oh, God. Lord have mercy. I think it's best we end on that note. And on that note, I'm saying goodbye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. Bye.
We sit glued to the TV set all night.
And every day.
Why go into the outside world at all?
It's such a fright.
We got nothing better to do than watch TV and have a couple of brews.
Okay, now I have hit the record button, so anything you say now can and will be used against you at the end of the podcast.
What episode is this?
72.
I don't.
Oh, I'm looking at an email titled Podcast Episode 72.
All right. 72?
Yes.
Okay, I'm ready. Did you say we're recording? Oh, Lord. Okay, here we go. Well, resist, Amory, resist.
Well, that's just it, as you always say, okay, here we go. And then there's that just slightly too long pause before you start, and Amory just can't hold herself that long.
I will keep my mouth shut.
All right, here we go. Hello, and welcome to TV.
That was completely involuntary. I couldn't help it.
All right.
Ray probably did, because you don't watch Lie to Me, right?
Correct.
What were your thoughts as a non-watcher?
It's okay.
For a second there, I thought you got up and left.
Yeah, you were like...
With the moving around of the headset.